minute. Anyone need a handout on Micah? We're going to be looking at Micah this morning. Okay, let's get started. Turn your Bibles to Micah. We'll be reading Micah chapter 3 in a little bit, from Micah chapter 3. We'll start with a word of prayer. Let's remember our newborn. Let's remember the Price family and their newborn baby. And let's remember the Ruckers, who had a baby this past week. That's in your bulletin, by the way. All right, is there any other prayer requests? Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, may all praise and glory be given to you. And Lord, we praise you this morning, and we thank you for this time that we've had to come together. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for the prophecy of Micah and the clear prophecy that it forecasts of Messiah. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our study, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless all the classes that we have. Be with our teachers. Be with us as students. Be with our students, our grandchildren and children. Lord, we pray for our country and pray that you would bless our leaders. We thank you, Lord, for the newborn of the Ruckers, and we pray that you would watch over her. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the newborn of the Price family as well, and be with the Price family. Ask, Lord, that you watch over us and keep us safe. Keep us on the right track. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, as I said, we're in Micah chapter 2. Remember, Micah was a prophet for the southern kingdom. I'll show you on the map again. There we go. Okay, so that area right there is the southern kingdom. You see that star? That's Jerusalem, its capital. Micah himself was from an area over here by where it says Lachish. Okay. And remember that Micah prophesied about the same time as Isaiah. He's a contemporary of Isaiah. Also of Hosea, who we studied a few weeks back, who was a prophet in the northern kingdom. And the period was during 735 to 700 BC, and it was a time when Assyria was a major power, and the one that was contending, and they actually did conquer the northern kingdom. They threatened the southern kingdom, But through the efforts of Isaiah and Micah and the prayers of King Hezekiah, the Assyrians did not take Judah at this time. That was left for the Babylonians to do so later on. Okay. Remember, we don't know much about Micah other than where he was from. Not sure about his occupation. We do know that he was a fearless prophet. He did not hesitate to proclaim God's word because he had much opposition. And when we saw last week about some of the opposition, the false prophets, one of them was in opposition to it. Okay. His message: God is holy and just, and therefore judgment must come. And then his second message, the coming of the Messiah, which we're going to look at that today. Quite a bit of his book is on the coming of the Messiah. All right, chapter 3. That's where we'll start. Remember, last week we covered the first four verses, and he condemned the rulers. And remember, he talked about them like they were cannibals. But he didn't specifically mean that they were cannibals. It was just the way they were treating the people, treating the poor specifically. They were taking away any means that they had of making a living, leaving them destitute. No food, no clothing, so forth. Okay. So that's what he meant, like in verse 3. Who also eat the flesh of my people, flay the skin from them, break their bones and chop them in pieces, like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. Okay. All that sounds like they were cannibals, but they were not. It was just the way that they treated the people. Now notice verse 4. Then they, he's talking about the leaders are they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, because they have been evil in their deeds. Okay. They could pray, they could cry, and the Lord would not hear them. No answer would come from the Lord. Jeremiah, notice this right here. Jeremiah, 100 years later, had a similar prophecy. Notice what he said in Jeremiah 11:11, up there on the screen. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape. And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Just pretty much the same thing as what Micah has said. And we know that this was indeed the case some 100 years later. I'd say 100, probably closer to 150 years when the Babylonians come. Okay, let's go on to verses 5 through 7. Here he's talking about the false prophets. I'll read that. Notice what he says. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets, who make my people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against him, who puts nothing into their mouths. Therefore you shall have night without vision, you shall have darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners abased. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. Okay. All right, so he's talking about the false prophets there. And what specifically was Micah's charge against them? What were they saying about what he was prophesizing? No thought on that. All right. Micah was telling them that judgment is coming. An enemy is coming. And they're going to take over. These false prophets, they were saying peace, weren't they? They were saying just the opposite. No trouble is coming. Everything's good. See that in verse 5, who chant peace when there will not be peace. Okay? And so they're going to be punished, aren't they? These false prophets. And he also calls them seers. Seers are those who do it for money. Not prophesying according to the Lord's will, but according to what they want, what people wanted to hear. Actually, what the rulers wanted to hear. And so hard times are going to come from them, aren't they? They won't be able to make a living. They won't be able to foresee. Says they will not be able to do their divination. What does that mean? Divination. Wasn't that like fault, like fortune telling? Yeah, I believe that's what it is. So their sorcery, their magic, and fortune telling wouldn't be able to do any of that. Hard times are going to come for them. Okay. All right, verse 8. In contrast to that, what is Micah? How is Micah? Well, he says, but truly, I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord. And of justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Okay. Micah was just the opposite, wasn't he? He had God's power. He had God behind him. And he was not afraid to tell the people their wrongs, was he? He was going to tell them their transgressions and their sins. And he had God's power. He was just the opposite of these false teachers. And since he does have God's power, notice what he says in 9 through 12. Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob, rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity. Who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her heads judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for pay. And her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Therefore, because you Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the tempest like the bare hills of the forest. Okay, we can notice several things they were doing wrong right there, can't we? They abhorred justice. Another word for abhor is hate justice. They did not treat the people the way they were supposed to, the poor, and so they didn't judge correctly. They paid bribes to the judges. Pervert all equity. Didn't treat people equally, did they? Heads judge for a bribe. Priests teach for pay. Okay. What were the priests supposed to get? Yeah, they were supposed to receive provision for the tribes. They weren't supposed to receive pay, but now here they were demanding pay. Also, we know that from Hosea that they didn't teach as they were supposed to. Okay? Teaching for pay. And notice the towards the end of verse 11. It says, yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Okay. So what are they saying there? What were these false prophets, these and the priest and the people saying? Leading the people astray. Uh-huh. And okay. Why did they have that thought, though? Didn't they say God is among us? Because the temple is right here in Jerusalem. Okay. That was their thought. They say, well, we have the temple here. God must be among us because the temple is here. So what you're saying, Micah, can't happen. It can't possibly be. We should be spared. No harm shall befall us. Okay. But yet Micah says, yeah, it's coming. It's going to come. And you better get ready. And his prophecy does come true. Not right at this time, but 150 years later when Babylon comes, conquers him. Okay. Yes, Jim. Yes. Well, we should, but times change, but people remain the same, don't they? Yeah. And of course, from the very beginning, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, he said, do not covet, which is greed. Do not steal, which leads to greed. And one point also I think applies to our society today is we think no harm can come to us. Right here in America, we say, what harm can befall us? We have this, we keep saying we have the best military money can buy, but do we? Do we know for sure? Is that going to protect us in the end? We don't know. We don't know. We've lost our trust in God. Most people have. So, yeah, we are no safer than the Israelites were. Okay, let's go on to chapter 4. I spoke about the coming Messiah and how Micah has one of the clearest visions of it. Let's read verses 1 through 8, chapter 4. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountaintop of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords and plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God. But we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Okay, let's stop there. We can read on, but what is these latter days that he's talking about? The end of times that he's talking about? Yes. Yes, we are living in them today. Okay. Premillennials say it's going to happen when Christ comes again and starts his 1,000-year reign. But if you study the scriptures, no. It's today. Okay. I say study the scriptures. All right. Look up on your screen. We're going to notice five things that tell us Micah was forecasting the time that we live in right now. First of all, it says in the latter days. Some versions say last days, and others say end of days. Okay. Number two, second, it tells of a spiritual kingdom to be established that will never be destroyed. Doesn't that sound like Christ's kingdom? Yeah. Christ's kingdom, yeah. Daniel referred to it in Daniel 2:44 and also in 7:13-14. Notice what Daniel 2:44 says. And in the days of these kings, and the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other peoples. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. Okay, the Hebrew writer, he makes reference to this as well. Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. With reverence and godly fear. Okay. Hebrew writer says this kingdom that is to be set up is right now. Christ came and set it up. Okay. And in verse 2, look at verse 2 in Micah again. Any nation shall come and come, let's go up to the mountaintop. It says many nations shall come to it, and they will want to learn of God's ways, and the word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem. Jesus says this will be fulfilled. Okay? Now look back up on your screen. Look on the screen and see what Jesus said. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. Okay? Beginning in Jerusalem. Very similar to what's said there in Micah 4:2. Very end of Micah 4:2. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Okay, point number 4. And this refers to verse 3. Verse 3, it says, the Lord will judge the nations and there will be peace. Swords will be bent into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. And what that means is no weapons will be used. Okay? All weapons will be done away with. That's what that means. Okay? Notice what Jesus said in John 18:36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Okay. If his kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight. There would be fighting and wars if his kingdom was of this world. Okay. But it's a spiritual kingdom, isn't it? All right. I'm sorry, I didn't follow you.
If we're using the sword of the Spirit.
Sword of the Spirit, okay, yes.
And the sword of the Spirit is the word of
God. Is the word of God, yeah. Yeah, that's well put, yeah. No more earthly weapons, right? Well, you are getting better all the time.
So. The strategies you know better than to use.
Okay. All right. And then notice in verse what it says in verse 5. Each man shall sit under his vine and fig tree. This has long meant that there would be peace. Whenever they said that in Scripture, each man shall sit under his vine and fig tree, that meant peace. Okay. And the reference is made to 1 Kings 4:24-25, which is also up on the screen. Okay, so clearly from Scriptures, today is the last days, isn't it? Okay. Micah was making a forecast of what was going to happen, and it's during our day and time. Okay. Not when Christ comes again for the 1,000-year reign, some say. It's today. We are in the latter times, or end of days, whatever your version says. Okay, keep your finger in Micah and go to Isaiah 2:1-4. Turn over to Isaiah 2:1-4. Now compare that with Micah, this passage here in Micah. Give you a minute or two to do that. Okay, what do you see when you compare them? Almost word for word, Isaiah says the same thing as Micah. Everyone see that? Again, Isaiah was a prophet during the same period. Some scholars think that one copied the other. I do not think so. I don't know. Where is your proof of that? I think they were just both given the same message from God. They were each told the same message, given the same message. But again, it is a clear forecast of the coming of Christ and his kingdom that will be set up. Okay. All right, so go back to Micah. And if you want to, in your Bible, you can write Isaiah 2, 1 through 4, just for a reference. You have a study Bible, it may already have that. Okay, let's go on and read 6 through 8. And again, he's talking about the same period, this day and time. He says, and Micah says, in that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame. I will gather the outcast. And those whom I have afflicted, I will make the lame a remnant, and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, for the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Okay, again, he's talking about our day and times, because he says, in that day, and he's talking about something really glorious, isn't it? Okay. Glorious time, good time. And it'll be in Zion, which has long meant Jerusalem. I want to show you something from Romans. Because he mentions the remnant. In verse 7, I will make the lame a remnant, outcast a strong nation. This is from Romans 11, 3 through 5. Well, of course, we know Paul wrote Romans. And Paul quotes Elijah. Elijah said, Lord, they have killed your prophets, torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of the grace. All right, so what Paul, what Paul was saying there that he was quoting Elijah to prove his point, that today a remnant has survived through. Same remnant as which Micah had prophesied of. All right, going back to Micah. The last part of chapter 4, we're not going to take the time to read about it, but it's like Micah has come back to the present time, where he forecasts the destruction. And notice in verse 10, and to Babylon you shall go. They will go into captivity in Babylon. Assyria is not their threat, but Babylon is. All right, so he continues talking about it down through, well, through the remainder of the chapter. And the first verse of chapter 5 also includes, should also be included with chapter 4. Gather yourselves in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. Okay. So all that is speaking about that present time when Babylon shall come upon them. They need to be ready. Okay. Let's pick up in verse 2 of chapter 5. Again, we have a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. Okay. Notice what Micah says here. But you, Bethlehem, I can't pronounce that word, Ephrathah, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until that time, that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock. Strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name. The Lord is God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great, to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. Okay. All right, stop there. Who is Micah talking about here?
Jesus.
Talking about Christ again, isn't he? Making another prophecy about Christ. And verse 2, we're talking about Bethlehem. We know Christ was born in that Bethlehem. This is the only place you'll find it prophesied that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Only here in Micah you find that. I got it up on screen, but you can turn to Matthew 2 if you want to. Matthew 2. Matthew 2 and verses 3 through 6. It's up on the screen if you want to read it from there. It says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem, Judea, for this is written by the prophet. And what was written by the prophet? Well, it was the prophet Micah. And verse 6 says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That last verse, verse 6, almost word for word of what it said in Micah 5, 2. Okay, everyone see that? Okay, another thing that we can see from Micah. Go back to Micah 5. Very first part of verse 5. And by the way, how many of you have a break in verse 5? The very first line of verse 5, and then it has a break, and then it goes to the second line, okay? Micah starts a different thought after that first line in Micah 5. Okay. But anyway, notice in verse that first line of verse 5, and this one shall be peace. Okay. Christ brings peace, will bring peace, won't it? Spiritual peace. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Mm-hmm. Intercedes for us with God. And all our sins are forgiven. So we have peace with God. Okay. Up on the screen, I have two references made to this fact about God, about Christ. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah prophesied it. Micah prophesied it. Okay. And just as Sue Ann was saying, notice what it says in Ephesians about Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation. Okay. He is our peace. Christ is our peace. And Micah prophesied long ago. Okay. All right, what are your questions and your comments about Micah's prophecy? I think it's pretty amazing myself. Pretty clear that Micah knew all, or was prophesizing this all ahead of time, long before Christ came. Okay, we got about 1 minute. I should tell you that David's going to let me finish up Micah tonight. Tonight during the 5 o'clock hour, I will be teaching the rest of Micah. Why are we doing that? Because I won't be here next week. So if you want to hear the rest of the study of Micah, be here tonight during the 5 o'clock hour. Okay? We're going to stop there.